my dear prince and princess, your offer is meaningless. Don't give a damn about your rank. The gold in your sack, oh, it isn't worth check. I should make you fools go walk the plank.
Something would fill up a pirate's glee, but none of those pirates are me.
They're not he.
Welcome to episode 34 of Once Upon a Captain Swan. I'm your host, Sarah, and with me today we have Lindsay.
Hello.
Jenna.
Hey.
Gabby.
Hello.
And Justine.
Hello.
So, we are going to be redoing a discussion on the musical episode today because there were some technical difficulties last week, and unfortunately the recording is lost. So, we were going to talk about the finale today, but we're instead going to redo the musical, which, hey, I'm good with. Totally okay yeah with.
Who doesn't love a good musical?
But first, we are going to do a big old news roundup because the past 2 weeks have just been one news bomb after another for this show. Yeah. And we feel like we need to, you know, at least talk about it, despite a lot of it being sad, upsetting news. Mm-hmm. Biggest one, of course, being Jennifer's decision to leave the show, which I didn't see coming at all.
I didn't either.
Yeah, it was, that was a really, really hard morning. I had just dropped Rachel off at the airport. I was on my way back. I was listening to the soundtrack from the musical because that had been all we were listening to nonstop since the episode aired. And I was just so happy. Like, I'm driving in my car and, like, A Happy Beginning's playing. And I'm like, honestly, was crying at the time that I got the notification. But I was crying happy tears because of how much I loved that song and everything that happened. And then my phone lights up and it's a notification from Jen with her announcement. And I had to pull over on the side of the highway because I was hysterical. And, like, I sat there for, like, a good 30 minutes just sobbing. Yeah. Horrible. That was not a good morning. What about you guys?
Yeah.
How did you all hear about it?
I think because I'm on the West Coast, so I get news like 3 hours after everyone else. So I just heard my phone going crazy with Snapchat, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, like everything. And I'm like, oh my God, no. Because I was really sick and fighting a cold. And I just like kind of roll over and like open my phone. And I see that Jen had posted something. And I was like, oh, maybe it's like a really cute picture of her and Colin, like in their wedding gear. And it was not that. And yeah, and I started crying. And it was not cute because I was also sick. And yeah, not a great day.
No. For me, so I watched episode in the morning before work. I was so happy, so giddy. I was dancing to work. I was, you know, doing like the Evil Queen like walk and stuff. I didn't care or anything. And then I was sitting on my desk at work, and I saw Jenna post something, and it was that news. And I had to run to the bathroom and cry. Luckily, there was no one in the bathroom at the time, because I think, you know, if someone heard me like crying and did think something, well, there was something wrong. But I didn't full on cry until I got home from work. That's when I fully broke down. Like, it's awful.
Anyone else want to share their sad story?
I woke up and I went to work late, and I woke up to a messenger. And then I woke up to WhatsApp, and it was Lindsay, and I always answer her first, so, like...
Aww.
It's my fault.
I looked at it, and Lindsay sent me something from Jen. I was like, oh, okay, what did Jen say? And the first two words, I knew. And my heart just sunk. And I had to get up, I had to go to work, because I went to work late that day, because I was in Alabama to watch the musical with a friend in Alabama. So I drove back, got home at midnight, so I went to work late. And when I heard the news, my heart just sunk. I drove to work in a funk. Like, I was at work all day, and I was just couldn't eat. It was a funk. It was just bad. Depression.
Yeah. Not a great time.
Jenna, did you want to say your story?
My story. I feel like I've blocked it out of my memory. I'm just like, that didn't really happen, so I'm not going to remember it. I know, I get
like anxiety thinking about it.
No, I was at work already, and it was like the afternoon, I think. I had a break in the afternoon, because I usually keep my phone like locked in my drawer so I don't get distracted while I'm at work. So I was like outside on my break, and I got it out and put the data on. Went on Facebook, and then it pretty much was the first thing that came up when I opened Facebook. And I was really, really gutted. And the first thing I did was send it to my friend Tim, because I was like, oh my god, like, I have to share this terrible news, like you do. I don't know if I was shocked, because I kind of was expecting a lot of people to leave in a way, because I knew that the contracts were only six-year contracts, and because it had been so long since we'd heard about it being renewed, like, we usually hear a lot sooner about it being
renewed.
Yeah.
So I had a feeling that something like this might happen, but even so, when, like, that notification came through, I was so gutted. I was like, oh no, like, for me, it's like, even though it's carrying on, for me, it's kind of ended.
Mm-hmm.
What it was has ended, in a way, so yeah, it was sad.
Yeah.
The show itself is... does feel like it had an ending and is just kind of getting a rebirth. I did not see Robert Carlyle sticking around. That was
no. I thought out of everyone, out of the whole cast, he was for sure the one to leave, because
yeah.
he mm-hmm. was calling in that performance. He like hated going to Comic-Con. He's like,
he's mentioned in interviews, haven't he, like not outrightly, but he has made like a few like snide comments, you know,
yeah,
suggesting
like,
that he might be done with it, but maybe actually paying him. That's
well,
what I want to know.
What I'm thinking is maybe, like, whatever story they have planned for him was just something so different and intriguing that he thought, okay, this is going to be different. You know, he doesn't have to do this back and forth with Belle anymore.
This kind of wishy-washiness.
Yeah, I mean, so who knows what... Maybe that's
well,
what kept him on.
I also maybe. Read that he didn't want to keep uprooting his kids.
Oh.
That could be it, yeah.
So he, because they're older now, so like they're like almost teenagers now, so
okay.
It's kind of hard to uproot
yeah.
them from.
Yeah, that's true.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe because he always really liked playing the character of Rumpel, primarily more than Mr. Gold. I think I was thinking maybe yeah. the season 7 is going to get to play Rumpel more than Gold.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that has been a theory, that it's going to be like all of Colin, Lana, and Robert's stuff is going to be flashbacks, so they can play like the Evil Queen, Captain Hook, and Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking they might do like the Wish Realm. That was my theory.
Like Old Hook.
like
I don't know. Old Hook was fun for one episode.
I
don't know if I could. Season of
I'd
it.
Be annoyed.
Yeah.
I don't think Colin would want to wear that wig every
day. Diet.
I think what's most annoying is that the time we were all on such a high because the musical episode was awesome.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
just the timing of it was just like, you guys knew this a long time ago. Could you not tell us like in January or February? Just get us prepared, because like we had to automatically just get ready for the final episode like immediately afterwards. It was just.
Yeah, I think it was not the greatest timing, because I think what Adam and Eddie don't understand is that people aren't upset because Jen is leaving. Yes, okay. That's a part of why we're upset, but I think most of it is just that for a lot of us, it felt like it came out of nowhere, and we just wanted time to kind of prepare to say goodbye to this character who means so much to a lot of us.
Exactly.
And it kind of just... was like, oh yeah, I'm leaving, and this is my last episode, so bye guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I got, because I watch it on Netflix when it comes out. I used to watch it a bit earlier, but I've started watching it on Netflix now. So I didn't actually watch the musical episode till after I'd found out the news. So it was like, I didn't even get to have, like, the happy musical episode that was really, like, cool and be all happy about it, because I already knew, like, before I'd watched it, I already knew that Jen was leaving, so it's like, even the wedding, like, everything just, I was, it made it, like, sad to watch.
That's awful.
You were robbed.
It just has so much more of like a bittersweet ring to it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't watched it since. I couldn't.
I've watched it once since, and it was difficult.
Yeah, it's going to take me a long time before I'm able to watch this show again, I think.
Yeah.
It's just too painful right now. It's more like when you break up with someone, like the out of sight, out of mind type thing, where you just cut it all out of your life. Like, that's kind of what I've had to do the past, like, week. I can't even believe it's only been a week since the finale. I feel like it's been months.
apart from us, though.
Right.
You're with us, Sarah. You're here talking to us.
I know, I feel, but, so, like... This is almost therapeutic, though, in a way. So...
When I woke up, I was like, I'm tearing this damn wall down. Like, fuck it.
That's I had the same idea. I was like, I am throwing all my stuff in a box. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Josh and Ginny, I think we all knew was a given.
Yeah, I think we all kind of knew or were prepared for them to either leave the show completely or just downsize their roles.
Yeah.
In such a way that they were basically guest stars.
And also, I feel like out of all the people who left, I think they'll be the most likely to be reoccurring. Because I genuinely think that they love their characters and being on the show. I just think maybe in this case they just want to spend more time with their kids and just not do it full time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, they did say in an article that they wanted to move back to Los Angeles. That's all.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it was actually their decision, because I went into thinking it was the writer's
that
decision.
That they were fired.
Well, there was Sean, who just bought a house.
And Emily.
Yeah.
And Bex.
Emily and Bex.
Oh, Bex. Really, I was so gutted about that.
I know. I was getting better, but then I heard about Bex, and then I just like lost it again.
Yeah, Emily is the one that really did it for me, because it didn't even feel like she got to announce it on her terms.
Right.
Because Adam and Eddie announced it before, and then she made an Instagram post. She's like, "Well, I had originally wanted you guys to hear from me, but yeah, I'm not coming back."
So yeah. Do we have any other thoughts about? We could talk about this forever, but...
Could you?
And I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will.
I think summary...
We're so shitty to Colin for staying on, even though Jen left.
Here's the thing, though. Colin is in a contract, so...
Yeah.
This is not... This was out of his control, so don't be angry at him for staying. He's in a contract.
Yeah. Also, even if he wasn't in a contract, he's not obligated to make career decisions off of Jen. He's his own person and needs to do what is right for his own career.
You know, and especially he has a new baby that they have to financially support. So
he and Jen they have just two different lifestyles at this point. Colin has a young family. Jen does not. That allows her the freedom to go and do different things, where Colin probably needs and wants more stability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do we think about once being moved to Fridays at 8 o'clock?
It worries me.
I get what they're trying to do, which is have this sci-fi fantasy superhero thing happening on Friday nights. But, on the other hand, everyone knows Friday nights is where shows go to die.
I mean, it's 6 years on Sundays. Like, how could you just uproot it from, like, its iconic position to somewhere? It's like...
I'm going to miss my one Sundays. Like, I do things on Friday nights. I'm not going to sit home and watch TV on Friday nights. That's when I go out.
Yeah. Like, there are a bunch of people who are like, oh, yeah, it's fine. I don't do anything on Friday nights. It's like, well, I do.
Like, that's I have a life.
Sometimes I'm still at work at 8 on Friday nights.
Yeah. It's just like, it just makes me sad. And I have a feeling ABC isn't going to promote it, because they, like, hardly do any promotion for once anyway.
And I feel it held its own on Sunday nights, you know? Like, I get that football and other things are on Sunday nights, but for ABC, it did decent.
Exactly.
I think it was consistently a top 20 or even a top 10 show throughout its whole run on Sundays, so I don't understand why they're moving it to Fridays.
I guess I'll be interested to see what they put in its place on Sundays, and if that doesn't hold up, maybe they'll move it back.
Maybe.
Like American Idol or something? Wasn't that going on Sundays?
Oh, is it?
I think it was something reality. It wasn't like a show. It was like a reality show.
Another bringing American Idol back.
Why? Who asked for an American Idol reboot like 2 years after it ended?
Yeah, Powell said no.
I was so happy when it ended too.
They canceled it because it was doing horrible. Nobody watched it.
Yeah, who was like, you know, we should bring back American Idol because it's so different than everything else that we have on.
This is the president. She wanted it back.
Well, she is wrong.
Yeah, it's.
I don't want to tell her how to run her multi-billion-dollar corporate TV station, but she's doing it wrong.
I agree.
I think what we're trying to do, like, one, trying to like give it like a fresh feel, like it's a new start, new stories and stuff. But I'm not.
I don't know.
It.
I just feel like it's not Once Upon a Time. It's Henry's Adventures. So I feel like if they had maybe rebranded it and given it just a new name and marketed it as a spin-off,
yeah,
I wouldn't feel so weird about it.
It's not a spin-off. Okay, I might have to start running here, but it's not a spin-off. It's basically episode one of Once Upon a Time, but with different characters in a different city. It is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyways. Another topic for another time.
Yes.
so shall we get right into the musical episode? Yeah, let's talk about the musical episode. Let's talk about Happier Things.
Yes.
Good morning, friend.
Don't forget the first part, Lindsay. Let's go back to it and Emma.
Yeah, little baby Emma.
Yes.
Oh, it was so cute and sad, though. I was, like, nearly crying in that first scene already. I was like, oh, God, here we go.
It's like every time I see McKenna Grace as Emma, I get really choked up. Because I feel like McKenna just brings, like, this, like, innocence and just, like, you know, just, like, oh, she's just so cute and so good. And you just want the best for her. And she brings that to Emma, and it's just, like, just kind of knowing Emma's history, you're just like, oh, this sweet little girl is going through so much that she doesn't deserve, and it makes me sad.
She's really great with acting with her eyes, and she also has that great, like, bit of spunk that Emma has as an adult. Like, you can see that bit of, like, fire. She's just so freaking talented.
Yeah.
For such a young person.
And she's in, like, so many things. Like, I keep seeing her everywhere.
Yeah.
Just going with Chris Evans.
Yeah, McKenna, you go. You go, baby swan.
Yeah, baby swan.
So then, after baby Emma, we get...
There you go, Lindsay.
What's going on?
Good morning, friends.
Oh, my dear.
This was fabulous. Like, Rachel and I were screaming at the top of our lungs. Like, this was so Disney, I couldn't even handle it.
Yeah, it was perfect for them.
It was definitely the most Disney-esque number. And it just fit who Charming and Snow are to a T. And also, shout out to Josh for giving 110%.
Ooh, to find myself.
His entrance was amazing. It was just like, amazing.
That's honestly my favorite moment in all six seasons of Once Upon a Time is him busting through that door.
What's going on?
Oh, it's brilliant.
And he's like, he's really good. I was like, I wasn't expecting that. It's like, oh my god,
get this man
on
Broadway.
My whole life.
I think he was one of the only cast members who'd been, like, in musical theater.
Yeah.
And was, like, in a West End production of something.
Yeah, I don't know what. You can tell. You can tell by listening to his voice. He's got, he's definitely had
very
training.
Well trained, yeah.
And he's showing off, and I love it. Give it to
and
me.
And Jenny says she couldn't sing, but she's awesome. She's
yeah, she
so
did
good.
Awesome.
Adorable.
She's like a real Disney princess.
And you could just. She's perfect for the character of Snow. Like, her voice. Is just perfect for that part.
Yeah.
Gabby, what were
you you could just tell how much Jenny relied on Josh to help her feel comfortable, because she kept looking at him, like, so intensely, and was like, oh, they're so cute together.
They're so cute. It's one of those times where you're like, is it snowing or is it gosh?
Yeah, exactly.
It definitely felt like gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you,
you know,
just
gosh
tell.
And snowing go
They're
hand
the
in
same.
Hand.
They're the same.
I ship it. I ship it.
And I just love how they had all of the like maids in there dancing and stuff as well. Like, it was so like proper, like full on musical, everyone singing and dancing, and like it was hilarious. I loved it.
It was so cute.
And fun.
And, yeah, it was a fun. It was a great opening number.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like if you listen to the cast recording on like Spotify or iTunes, it just like it kind of puts you right into like that this is a once upon a time musical.
And I love how it I love every time when they do musicals, like this happened in Enchanted, where people always acknowledge the fact that they're singing and they think it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That was also like a great intro into the fact that, oh, we're gonna be singing, but this is weird, but it's still happening.
What the fuck?
Yeah, brilliant.
I feel like Josh is probably the most enthusiastic cast member when they said we're doing a musical episode.
Probably.
Probably. I feel like he's like, this is my moment!
And he killed it. I mean, good. I'm still blown away. Like, weeks later, I'm still, like, amazed.
A gift.
So where do we go from there?
The next scene was Snow and Emma picking out her wedding dress, which was so sweet.
I love Zelina.
I really miss
in the back with, like,
I know.
Alcohol.
Yeah. I am Selena in that situation.
Also, like, there was a moment where it's like Emma hands Zelina like her champagne, and it looks like it's just Emma and Zelina hanging out and Regina's not there. I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, Zelina would totally hang out with Emma and like offer to be maid of honor, because she is like head of Captain Swan fan club storybook chapter.
Where did she get all those wedding dresses, though? Like, you can't just borrow a bunch of wedding dresses and then decide later what you want. Like,
yeah, no,
just take them all home.
People are willing to do whatever you want.
There's a dress in modern fashions, so there'll be some more in there somewhere. Vintage dresses.
Yeah.
And then Snow offering her wedding dress, which is so well-intentioned, but that dress is not great.
I prefer it in black, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I really want to make that dress in black now and do like a dark swan.
There you go.
Oh, wow. A dark one, like, wedding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dark swan. That'd be so good.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, Rager and I were like, oh my god, we need it.
I was not expecting it, though. And like, as soon as she touched the dress, I was just like, what's happening? Oh my god, what's going on? Like, it's being ruined.
And then Jamie Murray continues to be possibly one of the best actors that once has had.
Yeah.
And she is just great as the Black Fairy. I would watch a whole show with Jamie as the Black Fairy, because she's so good at it.
Eve, I love her.
The only other thing I've seen Jamie Murray in is Dexter, and in that she plays like a psychopath, and she's really good at that as well. She's really good at playing like dark, twisted characters. It's like
she,
a
you
gift.
Can tell she really enjoys it. You can tell like the pure like pleasure you can watch it, and you can see that like, she enjoys it so much as well.
Yeah,
it's like weird.
I
she's
just
so sweet.
I just wish that we had the Black Fairy for longer instead of her being kind of introduced for like a scene in 6A
well,
and then coming in kind of halfway through 6B.
Yeah.
I wish that we had her for longer, because she's a far more compelling villain than the Evil Queen.
What were you going to say,
Gaps?
I was just saying it's so funny because Jamie's so sweet in person. When she even she plays on TV, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. She's really great.
Lindsay, what were you going to say?
Not just that, you know, we've not had really a proper Bond villain, and then the Black Fairy comes along, and I just think it's very short-lived, but very much enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. And then...
I haven't watched this since it aired, so
Yeah.
I'm a little rusty.
I need some help.
What happened from there? And then it goes into the Evil Queen song, I think.
So the Charmans think their love is strong enough to defeat me.
Well, here's something they don't know.
Mirror, mirror, good love.
This was cool. Like, this was badass. This was, like...
It was good.
Honestly, I think my favorite Evil Queen scene. It was great.
And it was kind
of... I liked the song itself. It was really fun. It felt very Rocky Horror and very Frankenfurter, which was a lot of fun and fit the Evil Queen very well.
That's kind of what she was going for. Like, I asked Lana about this in Van, and she said, yeah, it was like David Bowie meets Frankenfurter. Like, that's what she was going for.
Oh, that's cool. I can really tell that, and it's great. And I found it one of the most entertaining ones. Like, I was laughing because it was just, she went crazy, you know, like, interrupted.
She went full out.
You know, she, like, interrupted, you know, what was it, the dwarves and stuff, and then she went and see Pinocchio and stuff, and then she started that raunchy dancing with Pinocchio. It's like, oh my god, yeah.
And Geppetto just so, like, pushes Pinocchio.
That's
like,
really inappropriate.
Also, like, shout out to Lee Ehrenberg, Geppetto, Beverly Elliott, because they all had great voices.
Mm-hmm. The dwarves, though. Like, every time they were singing, they were doing, like, a conga line. It was so funny.
You know, if you have a chance to do a conga line, take it.
Basically.
And then she ripped up the blanket. I was like, Emma's blanket! No.
She was amazing. Like, her face when she was looking at all of them singing in the mirrors, though. Like, those facial expressions were just the best. I was like,
it was good, and it was so much fun. And I still do the walk sometimes, even though, like...
And Lana has, like, rhythm. She's got some moves.
Yeah, full on, like, dancing.
Yeah. This was, like... I mean, this was, like, the one of the few numbers that had, like, a lot of dancing and not just kind of reacting.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, move to this spot, sing. Move to this spot, sing. Move to this spot, sing. It's dance over here and sing. And
full on dance, yeah.
Sing. Yeah.
And she had to do this, like, all in the blue screen room.
Yeah.
That's great.
Difficult. So, props to her for killing it.
Oh, where did we go next?
I think it's that.
I should have rewatched this.
In the Jolly Roger? No, the clock tower?
Oh, the clock tower, yes.
I don't know what happened to the clock tower.
Is it Revenge or is it Zelina song?
It's Revenge first.
Revenge.
But did we not have a scene before that?
The clock tower scene, is it?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Where they go up and check the clock tower and there's all of the fairy dust just hanging there ominously above their heads.
Hanging out. Okay, so I'm confused by this curse, because don't you need to... You need, like, the heart of the thing that you love most, but the black fairy didn't need that?
Wasn't she the creator of the whole black curse thing, which was the point? So, I don't know necessarily if she need it. Yeah, maybe she doesn't need it.
Maybe.
It's Once Upon a Time. Can't question it.
Not like this.
You really can't.
But yeah.
And then after that was
on the Jolly Roger, where they're looking at the white suit, and then Emma comes in and he's like, "Emma, you can't look at me."
This was great.
You can't see the bride before the wedding.
Like, I don't know if anyone else read the interview where Colin said that originally they were going to have him in a white suit, and they were like, last minute changed it. So I think it's really funny that they then put that white suit into the episode as, like, a joke.
Yeah, I didn't like the suit at all, so I'm glad they
didn't go. That suit looked very 80s, and not in a good way.
It was too white.
Yeah,
it
was not representing him at all. No, exactly.
No. It was just, it felt off. Like, it would have felt really off to see Killian in white, because I don't think we've ever seen him in white, apart from the lieutenant uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was only pants, right? Like, it wasn't...
It was a pants and a shirt.
So yeah, we now we're off to the tavern.
Yeah. Oh my god, that song.
That song was perfect. So good. This whole scene was perfect.
It was amazing. It's so great. It's so Queen-esque.
Yes, it's so Queen.
It is. That's what it reminds me of. And it's just it sticks in your head. I think it's the best song out of the lot. And it did stick with me. It's like I haven't listened to it for a while because I've been upset and stuff. But I can still get it in my head sometimes. That is how powerful the song is.
Mm-hmm. And then I think someone on Tumblr, I think Lil Pawn is how you pronounce their username, but she did a whole musical analysis of the song, and she's like, there are like 3 key changes in it.
Oh.
And for a tenor, it gets really, really high. Like if I were to sing that in my head voice just as a alto, like even it gets super high and I have to drop down to it my chest voice and sing in my tenor range because I have a really deep singing voice.
It's a difficult song to sing. Me and Abby were saying that because I keep trying to sing it and it just changes key all the time and it's like I can't figure out where it's going next. Like it's okay if I've got it on like and I'm singing along to it, but if I try singing it without that, it's just gone. Just goes.
I think it's the most musically difficult song of the bunch.
I'm not sure if you give Josh more lines, I think he was. Josh did a good job, but yeah, him. I think Colin and Josh.
Well, not on about the singing voices. We're on about the actual song. Itself.
Yeah, about like the actual song writing, like just kind of seeing like the sheet music side by side. Mm-hmm. Mm. And being like,
I get you now, salt guys.
Because Powerful Magic, I think, has 1, maybe 2 key changes.
I would really like to read these analyses. Can you post 3. This somewhere? Can you link it?
Yeah, I'll post it in the.
Because I love stuff like
we'll
that.
We'll link it below in the description.
I would love to read that.
Because it's amazing. But yeah, in that song, there is one person in this song besides Colin who is the best part of this song. It is this guy. He's a little bit older. He has on like a red bandana and a white shirt and a vest. And he is giving his all. And it is amazing. Facial expressions are everything.
As soon as Justine pointed him out, like, I watched it again and I just love it. I mean, this is the role of his life and you can tell that, you know, he's really going for it and I aspire to be this man.
I aspire to have this as much enthusiasm in anything I do as this guy does.
I love Colin's little comment though. Colin's Hook's little comment. Just wait for the second verse, love.
Oh, yes, my favorite part. It's my favorite part of the whole.
Your impression of the headend was beautiful.
Also, he doesn't seem to be like confused as to why he's singing and dancing.
Yeah, he doesn't question it. It's just.
I almost feel like he is not in this spell or wish. He's just like, guys, we've been waiting. We've been rehearsing this for weeks. And we can finally perform it for people.
I don't understand how they did this whole scene in that tavern. Because that tavern is tiny. They would have had to, like, raise the ceiling a little bit or something. And it was just... I'm still trying to warp my head around it because that place is small.
You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
And now I understand why there are labels on all the tables about pirates. Now that makes sense.
Oh, it was brilliant. And I liked a bit where like they would like turn the table around for him. He's like, he's so dramatic. He's like,
he looks like
he's
gonna
go full out.
Yeah, he looks like the little statue.
Yeah.
But well, also, props to Colin for breaking his foot and then continuing to dance like a champ.
No. High five, Colin.
High fives all around.
I wonder if he'd have done more dance moves if he hadn't broken his foot. Because I was wondering, would he be a bit more? Like, he still did the dance moves, but he was quite stationary when he did them. don't know if that makes sense.
In the rehearsals, it was the same routine in the rehearsal. I've seen the rehearsal video.
Except in the end of the rehearsals, they're, like, moving tables, and he's, like, stepping down them.
Yeah.
So that may have been a last-minute change to be, like, a little bit simpler and a little bit easier on his foot.
Yeah.
But still, it's, like, no less amazing-looking. Raisin!
Oh, someone's woke up. I got your Snapchat. Oh,
finally.
Hey, girl.
Listen. I'm tired.
Was it a wild one last night?
Yeah, I went to eat Italian food at a fancy restaurant, and then I watched Moana, so it was pretty intense of a night. Like, that food coma just really did me in.
That Dwayne Johnson vocal, you know, just does it. Pretty much.
I couldn't handle it. I was in a coma for... like 14 hours.
Jesus.
It's fine. It's all good. I'm here. What are we talking about?
Revenge?
Talking about revenge.
Perfect timing! Like...
So, Ray, the floor is yours.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, off you go.
Oh, pressure's on. I love this song. I loved everything about it. I'm so glad I did not watch the clip beforehand.
Yep, same.
Same.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, we should mention, Rachel and I knew nothing about this episode. We hadn't listened to any of the songs, we hadn't watched any sneak peeks. We were 100% spoiler free, and I'm so glad, because it was amazing to, like, see it all as it happened.
Yep. We got spoiled on a few things, but it wasn't anything, like, drastic. Like, we knew the title of the song was Revenge Is Gonna Be Mine. We saw her wedding dress and Killian's outfit. And I think that was it.
The kiss.
I think that was real.
The picture of the kiss.
You saw the kiss. Yeah. I didn't see the kiss.
Yeah, I didn't see the kiss either.
See, so. I didn't even try to stay spoiler free because I just know me. I was like,
it's really hard. You have to make a big effort.
I deleted Twitter. I was having serious withdrawals. I'd go onto my phone to open Twitter, but it wasn't there.
Yeah,
so she was miserable. No, but you know what my favorite part of that week was? Seeing so many people be like, bye guys, I'll be back on Sunday for the episode where I'm staying off Tumblr. And then, like, throughout the week, they'd, like, pop in. And then, like, the day later, they'd, like, pop in for a little bit longer. And then by, like, Wednesday or Thursday, they were like, fuck it.
Yeah, I know. We stayed strong. We were in Toronto, so we were able to avoid things.
See, I was just like, yes.
You kept waiting for people to spoil stuff
with me.
You kept waiting for people to, like, discuss things in panels. And apparently they played a song or two at the convention. I don't know where we were. But thank God we were
in, like, the big room.
We would have been running out of the room.
Yeah.
I'd be angry.
I think it was during our meet and greet. Because that's the only time we weren't, like, in the ballroom.
I guess so.
Who did you guys get a meet and greet with?
Karen David.
Karen.
But we'll talk about that next week.
Yes. Karen. Spoilers for next week.
Spoiler alert! We had a meet and greet with Karen David.
So what's after Revenge?
What did come after Revenge?
Another next
I think
song.
It's the Mill Sisters scene in the vault.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I have the track list up.
It's like it always wins. How do you guys not have this track list memorized? What's wrong with you people?
You know what, Ray? We're just all fake fans.
How judgmental.
What is wrong? I can think everything you need to know about this track list.
So, Ray, what's next?
Yeah, what happened next in the episode?
And not just the song, but the scene in between.
I don't care about that.
Yeah, what even was that scene? It was just Regina and Zelina in the vault talking about something.
We were too busy screaming over Colin that we don't even know.
Yeah.
If you remember what was in that scene, leave us a comment on our YouTube page.
We're so bad at this. Like,
I remember.
Oh, well, go ahead then, Jenna.
Well, sort of. They were just helping each other make the potion to freeze to isolate the part of the curse that freezes time and override it.
That's right. Thank you.
All right.
It was important, clearly, guys. So, can we just move
on to the next? It actually kind of was.
It was important.
Yeah, that is kind of important.
It is important, but still.
What happened afterwards?
Let's just move on to Bex's song. Because that was great. Yeah. Let's just talk about Bex's song.
Was amazing.
Honestly, one of my favorites, and I wasn't expecting it to be one of my favorites.
I like it the more I listen to it. It's one of those that just
Wicked Always Win.
Like gets better every time you listen to it.
Yes.
I've been listening to the soundtrack a lot in my car, and this is one, like, I'm such, like, a Broadway nerd. Like, I'll listen to the Wicked soundtrack and belt out, like, everything. And this is one that I love singing in my car.
I get really weird looks because sometimes I forget my windows are down.
Yeah.
And I'm at a red light and I'm belting out these songs and like Revenge Will Be Mine and Love Doesn't Stand a Chance. Happy Beginning, I just sit there crying. I don't sing that one. That's just crying.
And Emma's
here.
Yeah. But I get some weird looks sometimes when I'm like gesturing and like just get. And you know what? Judge me, bitches. Judge me.
But yeah, it's the most Broadway sounding of all the songs.
It is.
Which it's like to give the Wicked Witch of the West a very Broadway sounding song when Wicked the musical exists. That takes some balls.
But you know what? It
reminded me of like an 80s power ballad, kind of.
It's so nice that like every song has a different sound to it. And so you get to, like, check off boxes for all these different types of genres of music. And so everyone gets something that, you know, would appeal to them. And especially to, like, all their different voice styles. Like, that's so cool.
And yet it all still flows together.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel disjointed or anything. Because I admit, when I saw the track list and I saw that Zelina got a solo all by herself, I was like, well, why? Like, not that I didn't want Bex to have a solo, but I was just like, this feels a little interesting that they would have her have a whole solo. Because I was expecting, like, a Mills Sisters duet.
Ooh, that would have been
fun. But I'm really, but I'm really glad that Bex got her own song, because it's one of my favorites now, and it's great. And she killed it.
See, I think it's my least favorite, but like,
I was gonna say same thing,
the
Jenna,
musical, actually. I think it's nothing to do with Bex. I don't know. It just didn't feel. I just don't feel like it fit as well as the others. I absolutely loved being back in Oz. I think that Oz is really pretty how they've done that, like with the floors.
It's
and
a great
everything.
Set.
It's an amazing set, and it was great to see Bex having such a good time. You could tell that she was really enjoying it. But
I got Munchkins.
Yeah, I liked it. I did like it, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Exactly.
Sophie just felt a little off. I don't know what.
Yeah,
it wasn't
my issue.
A favorite.
Yeah, like my issue with it was just like, it felt like that was the plot wise. Like I thought that was the only song that was kind of shoehorned in. Like you know, like because I thought the curse was only meant to be in the Enchanted Forest, yet she's in Oz and she's still singing. So like, I didn't quite understand why that was. So I thought,
yeah.
Like, it's kind of like forcing it in just to sing.
It feels weird because they've stated that Oz is its own realm, separate from the Enchanted Forest. But Ruby and Mulan were able to just walk there. And so now I'm like, is it its own realm or is it just another kingdom?
Is it just like Camelot
confusing.
That you can walk to? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's confusing.
They walked there?
Yeah, because in 5A, they were like, well, we're going to go somewhere and be lesbians, but not really. And then we next find them in Oz, and there's no mention of a magic bean or any other portal jumping stuff. So presumably, they just walked to Oz.
Oh, I just assume they found a tornado or something. I'm just like, yo, can we get a ride?
Yo!
Well, apparently all you gotta do is climb the beanstalk and there's suddenly more magic beans up there that appeared out of nowhere. But we'll talk about that next week.
It's once upon a time. Accept it. We know this.
Ever.
They just break their own rules. You know what? There's
rules. One of my favorite things about this musical episode is they're almost poking fun of themselves by basically saying, we realize how many plot holes we're opening up with this storyline, so we're gonna fix it all by saying that their memories were wiped.
Yeah.
They're poor brains, brilliant, man.
Right? They have poor brains. I have to wonder how all these memory wipes are just affecting their cognition.
And how many lives, like fake lives, they've got, like, you know, yeah. Who am I today?
Yeah, just kind of piled am one I, on top of am the
other. What is happening?
I really want, like, a character that's just completely lost it. Like, just like...
Here, are you okay? Oh my god.
Literally just saw the dog with a boot. Did somebody throw him at you?
He just jumped off the bed. God.
Oh,
shit.
Boy.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That was so funny.
It's funny, as soon as I heard the bark, I looked up at Ray's screen, and then I realized...
I know.
Yeah, wow. Right. Now, guys, way to just assume it's always me. Rude.
Well, Ray, we're more acquainted with your dogs.
Yeah, it's usually always them.
That's how we know you're back, Ray, with all the barking.
Exactly.
Anyways.
That's about
the anyway, part. What were we even talking about?
Someone was saying something.
I was saying something
about some character losing it because
yeah. I want a character, like, I just want, like, them to come across a character that just has had too many memory wipes and too many alternative lives, and now they just have, like, a severe multiple personality disorder, and like, they just don't know how to function in real life anymore. They're just like, is this gonna happen to us if we keep getting cursed?
They're just like, oh.
It's not good. It should be season 7, like, everyone, like, reacting to
everyone.
Everyone just loses their mind.
Everyone just has, like, they just go, like, Mad Hatter, like. I guess we did kind of have that with him, but, like, I want to take it to the extreme.
But next
extreme.
Like, hardcore, just a mess.
So what was after Wicked Always Wins? Was this...
It's the Charmings and the Evil Queens dance-off, which wasn't really a dance-off.
Was there not a scene in between, though? Like, Henry and Emma, maybe? Or one of those scenes?
Oh, yeah, she's going through the box.
Yeah.
I really thought when she pulled that photograph out of the box, it was going to be that photo of her and Neil. And I'm so glad it was the one of her and Henry.
Well, not it's a Photoshop, but why did Photoshop it? Yeah.
It was like a bad Photoshop.
It was. On, right? Okay. It was.
There is no Photoshop as bad as Black Harry's Photoshop pictures of Belle.
My favorite part of the episode.
That was so great.
It was the best.
I laughed so hard. Like, oh my god. Again, we'll talk about it next week, but god, yeah. I never laughed harder at anything.
Amazing.
Crack people.
That was hysterical.
But yeah, like, we've already got that picture together, so why have a Photoshop in now?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Because it's Once Upon a Time, and what's logic?
It's Once Upon a Time, and when they're going to use bad special effects, they're going to use bad special effects.
I mean, I do that job for, like, practically no money, so I'm sure they can save...
Find someone.
How many people do you know on Tumblr that's really good at Photoshop? Like, hit us up, guys. We are poor people that need some money.
I know, like, honestly, they should just hire some fans to, like, do, like, all of, like, the promo work.
Hell yeah.
Because, like, that season 5
Let's get some new promo photos.
Oh my god, that season 5 photo promo was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yes, it was.
No, what was the one? No, there was the one where they all were in the purple.
Season 3.
They were all in the purple background.
Yeah, for season 3. Ugh. And they just had this rock by the side of them that was
and
just
they were just, like,
there.
Standing awkwardly, like...
And Emma's in, like, a purple ball gown for no reason.
Just
she
get
just
me and Rachel,
is.
Come on. We got this.
Yep. We can do it. We'll take some really great shots in Steveston. Give us your blue screen. We'll edit the background.
Yeah, so back to the Charmings and the Evil Queens.
I love this
that
scene.
Unbeliever scene.
It was so funny.
Yeah, it was funny. I loved it.
I loved how, like,
it was so
really into it, Snowing, where they were just like, there's a powerful magic with two hands.
It was so, so Disney, and it was so perfect.
Yes, I loved
it. I wish that the two songs had been integrated a little bit better. But
yeah,
you know,
towards the end of the song, it did kind of like just sound like noise rather than, but the acting behind it, like, and it looked like we were having so much fun, which it's meant to be. Fun.
They should have just did a new song.
Yeah, I wish they had done new songs. And two new songs that were made to be thrown back and forth at each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because these ones didn't make sense when they were just saying at each other.
And by this time in the episode, it was like the third time we heard that Snowing song. Which, you know, it's still a great song, but it's the third time, you know.
It's also like there just wasn't a dialogue there. It was just, here are these two songs again, and we're gonna sing them at each other because it's a sing-off.
Ray got real excited. She's like, are they gonna have a sing-off?
I did. I remember that.
When the singing stopped, though, they were just like, there's a powerful magic.
It's a powerful magic.
It's like, you're still allowed to sing.
Yeah, like, did we actually, like, take their singing voices away? Like Ursula
actually,
lost
their voice? That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
It was
great.
Yeah.
Nice little touch for Little Mermaid there. Love it.
Yes. It makes sense in universe. We've seen that happen. So I guess that is what happened.
And we haven't actually seen them sing, so, like, in the show. So it actually is canon.
Yeah. Yep.
We missed a scene though with Gold, with Rumple and in the cell with Regina.
That was so mean. That was such a tease.
I know. I was so excited for Robert to say.
Carlisle's acting, he's like,
no. I think it would cheapened it if he did it sang as well. And the fact that he couldn't sing, I think it worked really well.
It did.
Yeah.
That was definitely a highlight.
Like, we were like squealing, like we were so ready for it. And then it was like, the duck
I would rather stab my eyes with the rusty flock.
Jenna, do your impression.
It's alright, Justine's done it.
No, Jenna, do it.
You can do it better.
No, I did it last week.
It was brilliant.
Turn. I was like,
no, Jenna, do it.
No, okay, Jenna, please, okay. Do it.
Jenna!
I can't do it now. There's too much pressure.
No one look at her.
That was just a bunch of blank screens. Apart from Ray. Okay. I'd rather gouge my eyes out with a rusty... I can't do it.
You were so close, but it was very good. Yeah.
You can do it at the end. At the end, when there's no pressure.
When you calm down.
Randomly do it. Anytime.
Just jump in.
We'll start talking about something
else.
Okay.
Alright. What came after that? So.
So after the Charmings. Is it the showdown between Emma and the Black Fairy?
We missed the vault scene where Rumple takes the magic thing from all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they all get frozen.
He freeze them in time. Which, like, that's a really cool spell.
And also, bravo to, like, everyone, like, who was frozen. Acting.
Yeah. It's hard to, like, hold a pose for that long and just not move.
Not blink.
You can tell Colin wanted to cleanse his jaw so bad.
He's like, don't do
it. Don't clench. No. Don't eyebrow lift. Don't blink.
But then, like Emma, like, kissed him and stuff, and he didn't move at all. I'm like, that's acting, that, guys. Get that guy an Oscar or whatever. Amazing.
That's when he wanted to, like, cleanse his... That's when he, his little jaw twitch.
He's like...
Well, how can you know someone's kissing you, like, and then not react?
Yeah.
Especially if Jen's kissing you.
Mm-hmm.
news.
Also, can we talk about Emma's hair this episode? Because
her hair jacket, I need it.
That's my favorite Emma jacket that she's ever worn.
It's $990.
Jesus.
Thanks, Ray, for the update.
I'll buy two. Yep.
God damn it. Why?
It's by... I can't remember who it's by, but... it's been spotted, and it's $990. Or maybe it's $890. It's still...
Oh, well, if it's $890, that's totally reasonable.
Yeah. It's still the static song.
This song was, like, so emotional, though. Like, Emma's song.
Yeah, it was so perfect.
I just love how they used the melody, like, Emma's melody that's been in there since the beginning. And it was just so raw. Like, the way Jen sang it was really, like, full of emotion and really raw and gritty. It was, like, it was great. It was, like, perfect. I loved it.
It was raw and gritty, but still sounded really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That rhymed. That was cute.
She's a poet, and she didn't even know it.
But, yeah, this song, I still haven't been able to listen since, because it does make me cry, like, every single time I hear it.
I listen to this song a lot, because it's, like, the one song in my key range. Like, Jen and I have the same vocal range. So I appreciate that. I can sing along without straining my voice.
Yay! I know, it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite ones to just sing. Like, I'll kind of hum it to myself at work. And my coworkers will be like, "See, what are you doing?" I'll be like, don't judge me, please.
I'm having a moment here.
I thought it was really powerful how she left her heart out for so long as well. Like, she just left it there, like, lying on the floor.
Yeah, she did all this without a heart. Yeah,
she just trusted... Yeah. Like, she trusted that nothing was going to happen to it because she was stronger than the Black Fairy, so she just left it there. Which is, like, massive character development for her to, believe she's that strong.
Yeah, also, was that, like... So, like, there was, like, a little beam of light that kind of shot out from her. Was that a true love ring around all of them?
No, who knows?
I don't think so. It wasn't the right color.
Wasn't the same, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the rainbow.
It looked more like light magic to me.
Yeah, like light magic savior kind of thing.
And like the song in her heart, like not in, just in her heart, but her whole being, her whole soul, her soul's like...
Just kind of burst forth.
Yeah, I took it as like her light magic breaking this curse, like combined. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With the song.
Yeah.
And then that transition to the wedding.
I don't want to talk about it.
Ray and I were actually like... I mean, this didn't happen until 5 minutes before the end, and we were like,
"Wait, we were saying,
did they fake us out? Like, are they actually not going to get married this week, and they're going to push it to next week?"
That's what.
Because I'm just like, there's no way they can do this whole wedding in like 5 minutes, but it did, and yet it didn't seem rushed.
No. It was perfect. It was one of the most perfect scenes on this show.
And it was just, like, I got really emotional. Like, I was fine throughout the whole rest of the episode, but then Emma hugs Killian, and the camera kind of pans down and then back up again, and you see them all on that rooftop. Killian's at the altar, and it hit me that they're actually getting married, and I just sobbed. Because it's just, like, I'd been waiting for so long for that. And it was actually happening. It just all hit me at that one moment, and I just couldn't handle it. And I just cried through the whole rest of the episode.
I was okay until Killian started saying his vows. Like, he literally said one word, and I was just like...
those vows were perfect, though, as well.
Sarah was gone the second they went to the wedding.
Emma walking down the aisle, I was like...
Just because I'm one of the few people that was like obsessed with her dress from like day one. Like, I'm so in love with it, and I love that dress.
I like it more in movement.
Yeah, seeing it. Yeah, in motion, yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's a dress that is better on video or in person than it was just in stills.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I saw the pictures originally, I was like, what is this? Why is her hair up? Why? Because I wish they went, like, with a more modern take, like, Kate's wedding dress, which was basically the same, like, a more modern take.
And like if they had done like a half up, half down wedding do, I just instead of having it in that severe bun, because Jen has beautiful hair.
No, she doesn't. She cut it all off.
Hey, her hair still looks beautiful. And also, we have the same haircut, Ray.
I just want her... but I just like her with her long princess curls. Because I'm trying to get those long princess curls, and it's been a goal of mine, and then they're actually not real, and it's just... I'm having a crisis, okay, with hair right now, so...
It's okay, Ray. We're here for you.
I loved that both of the Charmins gave her away. Like, walking down the aisle and gave her away.
Mm-hmm. That's what made me cry.
That's a Jewish thing, actually. At Jewish weddings, both parents walk the bride down the aisle. Because, like, both of your parents are there to raise you for your whole life, and they're introducing you to this new section of your life. I know Adam and Eddie are both Jewish, so I like finding, like, little Jewy things.
Well, I know, I think they both walked down the aisle because I think the main reason was because they missed out so much in her life.
Oh, yeah.
And to be part of a tiny little bit of it, well, no, it's not tiny, obviously, it's one of the biggest things of her lives, you know, to be part of that, it's just magical, and that's what set me off. I were gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was cute.
Also, like, Killian and Henry's little moment up at the aisle where Henry gives him the rings, and they have like a little moment. Heart just got real happy.
Little operation best man.
The vows though were just perfect. Like Killian talking about, you know, say the heart of a captain belongs to his ship. You could tell I've not watched it for a while, can't you? But with this ring, it belongs to you. Yeah. I'm like, whatever, you know. That thing, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I also love that, whatever.
Just because you're born of true love doesn't mean that you always find it.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
And she found it, and I'm going to get emotional.
And I love how she included Henry in her vows as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked that. Like, she included it like it was a proper, like, family
she's including Killian in that family now, because obviously Killian's been on his own for hundreds of years, and now she's like, come join us, you know, you're one of us, and it's so beautiful.
So cute.
Gabby, do you want to talk about the wedding?
Everything was said.
What about the song, Gabby? The wedding song.
Oh, I can't listen to it anymore. Like, it's playing on a fan video, and I had to turn a fan video off. I was like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, I was driving and I was listening to the soundtrack, and Happy Beginnings came on, and I had to like pull over and just sob, because it was like the day after Jen had made her announcement, and I was just listening to it, and I was like, I can't now.
I was on an airplane when this happened. I was on an airplane listening to my music. I had the soundtrack playing the entire time. I was so happy and so full of joy. And then I get off, we land, and I turn my Wi-Fi back on, and I get all these texts and all these floods. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I'm like, what is happening? So I looked, and I put my sunglasses on. I'm like, do not cry on this airplane. Do not cry on this airplane. Like, it was the hardest thing to do ever. And then my Uber driver also watches Once Upon a Time and When Calls the Heart, so we were talking about it. And it's a guy!
What? It's a guy. Even better.
That he watches with his wife. And, like, they stopped watching Once Upon a Time a little while back, but they were talking about it. And he's like, oh, where'd you go? You went to a convention? Oh, that must be cool. Oh, didn't they just get married? I'm like, yeah, they did. They did just get married. So I finally got to work, and then I just, like, broke down at my desk, because I work alone. Most of the time, I'm alone. So I just sat there and cried for about 20 minutes.
This song,
good times,
though,
guys! Good time!
This song was everything for me. It's probably, well, no, it's not probably, it is my favorite song of all time. And hearing Colin and Jen sing together...
I know!
Was everything I never knew I wanted. And it also, was so great. Like, what I've noticed in listening to the soundtrack, like, nonstop, is that for Revenge, he has his Killian voice, but for his mm-hmm. part in that duet, it's his Colin voice.
Yeah, it is.
And that, like, did me in.
Yep.
That song is so, like...
Has anyone picked up on,
Disney
like,
fireworks?
The
fireworks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very end, there's, like, when they do the... There's, like, a little, like, ooh, they do, they, not, that was ABC, that just happened, but they had, like, oohing at the end, and it's totally Josh and Colin, because they're, like, the only, like, males.
Yeah, because it's, like, a happy beginning now is ours.
Yeah, and there's, like, yeah. a little, like, yeah, literally, like, 0.5 Josh seconds Colin. Of, like, ooing, and I know you could pick up on Josh and Colin together, and I'm like, ah, can
I try my Josh's line as well, because he does like a little laugh in it, and I'm like, oh, Josh, you just.
Oh,
Josh Dallas, what are you doing to me?
Little Joshy.
And Jared's line. Jared's
yeah.
one line.
One line.
He needed more.
Yeah.
He
needed more.
Maybe he didn't want to sing.
Maybe.
He did good.
Because he wasn't bad. I think he could.
But he's
sing.
Also like a teenage boy who's like, no, I don't want to sing.
Yeah. Oh, and I really liked Zelina and Regina's little solo and dancing together at the wedding as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, and I think, you know, everyone just were brilliant singers. And I loved it when we were doing, like, the conga, and then we said, like,
again.
Happy, happy, happy beginning. Oh, did you already say that? I don't know.
Well, no. Oh, I just meant the conga again, like they did in the other
yeah,
scene.
Yeah.
There always been a conga.
I was, like, happy beginning, when we cut to happy, when he said happy. I was like, this is perfect.
And they were all dancing and on the tables like High School Musical. Like, it was like, it reminded me of the cafeteria scene so much when they were just like dancing all on the tables.
I gotta give anyone props who can watch anyone else in this scene besides Killian and Emma, because I can't take
yeah.
my eyes off of them from when he's mm-hmm. dipping her to he's lifting her and spinning her and she's doing her princess twirl. I just like done. I was so done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so nice. I loved that they had, like, these professional dancers there, like, doing lifts and everything else, like, all kind of scattered throughout at the very end of the number. But they never detracted from Emma and Killian. It was just kind of nice additions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just fill up the room.
Yeah.
It's a shame they couldn't get, like, more of, you know, like, the guest stars in the episode, but it
yeah.
still works
yeah.
really well.
I'd rather gouge my eyes out with a rusty fork.
There you go!
Got it in there.
Nailed yeah. it.
Nailed
it.
And on that note, there's no point in... Oh, well, go ahead.
No, I just want to talk about how Michael Coleman at the convention mentioned how each dwarf has their own color. And that happy was orange. And then, so they all had their own, like, their bow ties and their vests were their color. And I never
aww.
Picked up on that before until he said something. And I just thought
now that makes me want to, like, go back and watch and, like, see
yeah.
their colors.
Like,
color.
Leroy's purple, I think. Maybe, or green. I don't know.
I think it's green. I think Dopey's purple.
Yeah, Dopey's purple.
Yeah,
have
but they all have
the
their own colors. And they
have
keep
they
their...
All right. Have they got the colours off the Disney film?
I don't think so. Because I don't think Happy was orange.
And Grumpy wears
red
in, red, in
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
Dobby's purple.
Yeah.
He, like, has a purple hat.
That's
yeah.
the only reason we know he's Dobby.
Because, like, I think I have a still from what Snow White.
Well, that's also the
somewhere.
Only reason that we know he's Dobby is because he has a purple hat.
Yeah, he has a purple hat and doesn't talk.
Yep.
Doesn't do anything.
That's why.
Except now he's apparently going to get his master's, which, okay.
Hey.
Funny.
Just shows you.
Equal opportunity for all dwarves.
Yeah.
Do anything, kids. You can do anything, even though you technically don't exist and have no social security number. You too can get a master's degree, even though you need to actually exist on paper.
Not in Storybrooke, it's okay.
He's not in Storybrooke, though. He's in, like, the real world getting a master's degree.
You can get... Maybe ML hooked him up with some fake stuff, some fake paperwork.
Well, still, he'd have to have a degree from an undergrad program.
Emma didn't know. But Regina could have done it.
Someone could have done something.
It's once upon a time. Don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that I even have to ask this question, but how would we all rate this episode?
Yes.
Is this a universal 10 out of 10 from everyone?
10.
1,000 out of 10.
I give it a 0.
Yeah. That's because there was no angst.
I'm just kidding.
On Jolly Roger, yeah. I wasn't expecting
that. That was not angst, people.
It was angst.
Rachel.
It
was more annoying than anything that Emma was doing this. Like, it pissed me off more than it upset me.
Thank you, Ray.
Because I was like, really? Really? We just had this conversation how we're not going to lie to each other anymore. We're not going to do things separately anymore. And she's like, okay, I love you. Bye. Like, no. Stop it. Stupid. I mean, his face made my heart hurt a little bit, but that was it.
That's mean. That's like, I wasn't expecting. Like, it's meant to be a musical.
Yeah,
musical
if I had been prepared for it.
Colin has that ability, though. Like, his eyes, he just looks so sad.
Oh, his eyes.
He's like,
it's literally a sad puppy pirate king.
There is one scene that I wish they would have put in, and I know they didn't have time, but just to see how they got their wedding attire. That they,
yeah. Yeah.
Like how Emma got her dress and how Killian got his outfit.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We got to move on to Rex.
I have a Rex.
Cool. Go for it.
It's called Castle on the Hill by Secret CS Fix on AO3. And I'll just read the summary. English literature PhD student Emma Swan just needs money to pay for her last semester of grad school tuition. Killian Jones has always dreamed of opening a bookshop, but has never been able to afford it. So when the small principality of Misthaven is looking for their lost princess, the pair decide that this might just be the perfect money-making scheme. And it's the modern Anastasia AU that, like, I've been dreaming of.
Oh my god.
And it's so good. It's amazing.
Yeah, I need to read this.
Is it finished?
It is not.
Is it abandoned?
I don't think so. The last time it was updated was in April, but
that's not abandoned
fine.
At all.
That's fine. No, that's not abandoned. No. That's good.
But yeah, it's 5 chapters in, and it is 26,000 words. So, it's a good chunk of reading. We got time to catch up before they post a new chapter. And it's so good, guys. So good.
So, well, my rec is a fan art by Serena Marchette on Twitter. It's of a wedding kiss, and it's a pencil drawing. It's very beautiful, and it's got the lyrics, you know, a happy beginning. It's very cute, and I do love it.
Aw, there's been some great fan art coming out
after this
episode.
I have a fan video called A Happy Beginning, Hook and Emma 620 by Miss Catherine Pierce. It's 7 minutes and 31 seconds.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Is it happy or is it angsty?
It's like a mini story of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting to their wedding.
I can't take any angst. It has to be happy.
I mean, their life.
Come on, Sarah.
Not right now. I need a break from the angst because there's too much happening.
Absolutely.
Actually, I think I sent it to you. I think it was one of the videos I sent you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
They were good.
You're like, I'm crying.
Yeah. It was good crying, though.
Yeah.
Happy cries?
Yeah.
What is happy cries?
Does that exist?
Actually, it does.
Not anymore.
We have it on TV.
Yeah, the musical episode. That was the last time it'll ever happen. anyone else have a rip?
I've got a video as well. Love is Alive, Emma Hook, 620, by Chris Lover 345. And again, it's similar. It's just like a clips of their life from the beginning to them getting married. And it's really cute and sweet and lovely and very kiss-oriented for everyone who likes the CS kisses. So, yeah, I would definitely give that a watch to have a bit of a nostalgia trip.
Oh, it was really good.
So that about wraps it up for this week. We will be back next week to talk about the finale, as well as some of the cons that we've been at in the past few weeks. And also, by next week, I will have seen Jen in her play, The End of Longing.
Oh my god!
So, ooh, we'll talk about that. Hopefully, I will have met her by the time we talk.
Again? Oh my god, what if she remembers you?
Wear the same outfit. Wear the same outfit.
Wear the Comic-Con dress to New York City. Yes, okay. Brilliant idea.
Why not?
Just be like, this is my only dress.
I spent it all for you.
But, like, literally everyone and their mom is meeting her after the show, it seems, so...
I know. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, for stage door.
Yeah. So, that'll be next week, and as always, you can find us on all of our social media, OUACS Podcast, on everything, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, which we need to update and sort of revamp. And the website still needs to be revamped. Sorry. Sorry.
We're getting there.
Sorry. you can like and subscribe to us on YouTube, Audioboom, iTunes, and Pocket Casts. And we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.